Well, are you ready to get going?
Yes, I'm excited. This is going to be really, really cool.
It is.
This is going to be fun.
I was listening to the beat tape and I was like, I would love to use one of your beats as like the
Yeah.
intro and outro for this episode.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Like maybe pause it out and let the people vibe.
Yeah, I mean, we can definitely get into it, but that was like one of my sole reasons for like putting the project together. Music nowadays, we don't just listen to it. We also use and like we're making TikToks, reels. It's so like people, yeah, of course, listen to it, but like whatever creativity you have, use it, to your advantage. Yeah.
Yeah, the utility of music is incredible.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Welcome to this episode of Not So Tiny Awakenings, where I, your host, Reagan Williams, share the mic with a guest, uncovering the tiny awakenings and life lessons they have learned along the way.
So my name is Jaden Williams. I am a artist, producer, multi-instrumentalist, podcaster. Honestly, I just wake up every day and I just live out the lifestyle, the purpose, the passion that I believe, God has put in me. I figure out, how can I grow myself as a person and how can I, impact others? Like, how can I make my life better and how can I make other people's lives better? So that's like my whole mindset when it comes to going about my daily life and like carrying out, my business ventures, my goals. Like novelty or basic information. Like I'm from Florence, South Carolina, but I stay in the Charleston area. Graduated from College of Charleston, where I also attended with Reagan and graduated May of 2021. Got my degree in arts management, concentration in the music industry, minor in music. How deep you want me to go into
You're
the intro?
good, but you know what's really funny? You can tell that you're a podcaster because you're talking to the audience.
I definitely do it. Like even like when I'm having conversations with like people in person, in the group chats, like sometimes I'll say, okay, let's transition. One of my frat brothers, he was like, I said that in the group chat. And he was like, yeah, bro, I can tell you've been doing a podcast
for a minute.
Yeah. Well, when I start rambling, he'll say, or somebody will say, like, geez, why are you so long-winded? And I was like, bro, this is not on purpose. Like, it just happens.
Yeah, same way. I get passionate. Or, yeah, like you said, it's just like, I'm really firm on my opinion, and I need to give you A to Z why I'm thinking the way that I'm thinking. So I feel you.
shout out to Bryce Warner. Shout out to Nicholas Jeffcoat. These are the two guys that I probably have the most insane, like hottest debates about like music and sports. Like it's really insane. I've had both of them on my show with Marco, and it's called Hot Takes with Bryce and Nick, or Nick and Bryce. I don't know how it's worded, but if you want to go listen to like some true, like me just like carrying on, go listen to that one because it gets really entertaining.
Jalen's podcast is called Just Music, and it's linked below in the episode description. And I think I'm going to ask you this, but how many instruments can you play?
Yeah, so I play keyboard, piano, bass guitar, trombone, and that's it. And I mean, I sing, and that's it. Out of all the instruments that I play, those are the four. And now, when I was in high school, I didn't march trombone. I marched baritone, which wasn't really a hard transition. And then I played euphonium a little bit in concert band. So yeah, when people ask me, I say, yeah, I play trombone, piano, bass guitar, and sing.
Did you play anything like live for the beat tape? Like, did you record yourself or was that all electronic?
Yeah. So with the beat tape, the resume, yeah, that dropped yesterday, September 1st. So that was a little bit of both. And I can go into detail about the tracks. So the very first, like the opening song, The Fall, that was mostly like the bass line. I did that on my bass guitar. And then the other parts were pretty much recorded like electronically, like in my computer, in MIDI keyboard. And the song Losing Grip, the bonus track, I played the bass guitar on that one as well. The only songs on the tape that really had live instrumentation was Losing Grip, The Fall, and a little bit of IBTW. And I can go into what these acronyms mean too, because I know people are like, what the hell do these acronyms mean?
I have been wondering that, especially OGDB, because I think that was my favorite track.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell does this mean?
Yeah, what does that mean? Yeah. All of the tracks except for the bonus track, I recorded in my bedroom. I just used my MIDI keyboard. Ableton, which is like my digital audio workstation. For those that don't know what that means, it's just a program that I use to record music. And then I used my laptop, and then I used the interface, a Scarlett Focusrite. So really basic setup. And then, yeah, like The Fall and Losing Grip were the only ones where like I actually played like had an instrument in my hand. And on IBTW, with that one, I just used not my MIDI keyboard. I had my Casio brand keyboard that I have sitting right here. I don't know if you can see it, but right here. All of the parts on that song, I just got out of the keyboard because like there's the piano setting on there, and then the strings, the drum parts, all of that. I just got the sounds from the keyboard and just put it into the into the software. That's why it has kind of like a live feel, because I really wanted to go for like a orchestral vibe
Orchestral.
Yeah, that was from like spending 2 years at the Charleston Symphony, and then also like playing in an orchestra. So with the acronyms though, so
IBTW, yeah, let's get into that part.
So the reason why I did, so there's three tracks on here, ATB, IBTW, and OGDB. The reason why those have acronyms is because those tracks in particular, one, I just could not come up with a name for them in the beginning. And then I thought about it some more. And I was like, okay, yeah, I have a name for them now. But like when I released the project, I don't want to have those names revealed because I want people to sit with these three tracks in particular and just kind of like let their imagination run. Like, what does this mean? like, it sounds good, but what is the title of this song?
You're confusing people on purpose. Okay.
Yeah, I did that on purpose. And then like when you look at the cover art, it's formatted like a resume. And then with the acronyms, if I had the actual names of the song spelled out, the formatting wouldn't work. So that was another reason why I did it like that. So OGDB, it stands for, in like old Drake type beat or OG Drake beat. Cause when I made that song, I was like,
okay.
Yeah. When I made that track, I was like, I want to make like a nostalgic, you know, old Drake type of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Drake fan. I'm a big Drake fan.
And that's why I was like, that's why I was vibing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I was vibing.
So I was like, you know, I want to make, because Nothing Was the Same, that's like one of my favorite albums ever. That's also, in my opinion, his best album. And I love the Take Care era as well. Yeah. And then I was like, you know, I want to make a vibe like that. So all I did was I found like with that song in particular, I actually didn't play keyboard on that one. I found a sample of a chord progression. I dropped it into my music software into my computer. And then I just kind of carved out the track. I found a really cool drum loop to use. And then I added some extra sounds, like some percussive stuff that you hear in there. And mm-hmm. I put like audio effects on there to like make it sound spacey and like very atmospheric, I guess you can say. And it, when I listen to that song, I'm instantly like transported to the past in terms of like reflection, in terms mm-hmm. of like I said, like the old Drake music, like his older.
Real nostalgic.
Right. Yeah. That was the whole inspiration behind that one. And I was like, people are really gonna like this one. And so far, that's
and
like
do. And do.
That's one of the leading favorites. Like I've been talking to people, they're like, bro, like I really like this. And mm-hmm. The next one, IBTW, that stands for Inspired by the Weeknd.
Okay.
I was talking to my homeboy, and he was sending me the songs. So he sent me the old OGDB or old Drake type beat. I put OG because like original or like,
yeah,
you know, you're talking to like one of your elders, you're like, yeah, you're mm-hmm. one of the OGs. So like when I think of like Drake's older music, I say, yeah, that's OG Drake. Like that's,
I know that's, yeah, like that's when he peaked for right. a lot of people. Yeah,
exactly. So with IBTW, my homeboy, he sent me the song and he was like, this reminds me of Earned It by The Weeknd. And I was like, yeah, that was the inspiration behind that one. And the inspiration behind that one is pretty interesting. I was at I had a business meeting at a dress rehearsal for a burlesque show. I know that sounds weird. But
it doesn't even sound weird. It sounds like an old like 90s flick. Like yeah. I wouldn't even say 90s type yeah. of like business meeting before the burlesque show. What?
I walked in and what is going on? Like I saw this sign. It was like, yeah, there's this show tonight. I see like a bunch of women in like lingerie. And I was like, what is this, bro? And the guy, he told me, he was like, yeah, this is my girlfriend's show for tonight. She's having this burlesque. It may not have even been fully a burlesque show because it had like some comedy attached to it. So it might have been like comedy, satire.
They might have just been going all out. You know what I'm saying?
So like, we're having the meeting and this is like out in the open. Like,
mm-hmm.
There's like a bunch of women walking around. There's like women on stage. There's like sound guys. There's light people. And I was like, okay. So then I just started sitting there and I was like, this reminds me of Earned It by The Weeknd, like the music video. And then like the lyrical content. And then I started thinking about 50 Shades of Grey. And I was like,
wow.
I, that's what the song was. The song Earned It by The Weeknd was made for that movie. So mm-hmm. I was like, I want to go home and create a vibe like this.
Yeah.
So that song took me like a day and a half to make because I didn't use any samples. I didn't use any drum loops. Every part that you hear, that came straight from my mind, like straight from my brain. Like I didn't have like a folder of samples or anything to flip through. Mm-hmm. I just went home and I like studied Earned It by The Weeknd. Like I was listening to everything. I was listening to like the strings, the piano, some of the more subtle stuff, like the percussive stuff. And then I was like, okay. So I took my keyboard and I put down the chord progression. And then from there, I figured out a string part. I figured out, you know, how I wanted the drums to sound. There's a glockenspiel on there. There's a harp solo on there. I don't even play the harp, but I was like, I'm gonna just play what I feel. And then I listened to it and I was like, that sounds good. That sounds like a harp. Like there's like a whole harp solo in that track. And I was like, yeah, yeah. So like when I made this song, I was like, people are gonna find this weird, but yeah, I got inspired to make that by going to a dress rehearsal for a burlesque show. And I was like, you know, I want to make something that's like, and I also said I want this to sound like something that you would hear in a movie.
Yeah.
And so really theatrical, kind of classy. There's a little bit of like a sexual appeal to it in a way. And so yeah, that was the inspiration behind that. That's one of my favorite ones. And then ATB, honestly just stands for another trap beat. I wouldn't be surprised if like I talked to people, if I asked them, hey, like when I announced that I was putting out this tape, like what were you expecting? I feel like a lot of people didn't know what to expect because I was very, very strategic with this because I don't like to put myself in a box and I don't like for other people to put myself in a box when it comes to music. And I was like, with the single Low Groove, which is just a groovy lo-fi beat, very laid back and very chill. I was like, I want this to be the very first single. One, because I really like the song. I think it's really dope. I think a lot of people will like it. And a lot of people did. And when I released it, I said, just so y'all know, this one song will not sound like the beat tape, and the beat tape will not sound like this one song. And because, like, if you think of, like, some of the, like, Metro Boomin, for example, he's a big-time hip-hop producer. He's an influence for me, inspiration for me. When he puts out a project, you know that you're going to get a lot of hip-hop and, like, trap and rap style songs. So with the ATB, another trap beat, I put that on the project because, one, it just sounds really, really dope. Like the beat switch, the drums and everything is really cool. But also because it's kind of like, I feel like nowadays when it comes to like big time producers or beat makers, everybody thinks of like the hip hop producers. Everybody thinks of Metro Boomin. Everybody thinks of Jetson Made It, Hit Boy, all those guys. And they're great. They're phenomenal. I really love those guys, their work, their inspirations to me. But like, we don't give enough love to like producers of like pop music, R&B, even like your jazz or classical, like producers of all style music. And I was like, I called it another trap beat because it's just like I feel like we've heard enough trap music in mainstream music. Like when it really got popular in the 2010s, with artists like Future and 21 Savage, the Migos, all those guys, phenomenal music, great music. I love I really like 21 Savage music, especially like,
oh, love it.
How his career has just really evolved over time. It's kind of understated, underrated.
But, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, bro, like, I don't want to make like no hip hop beat tape, because honestly, there's 100 hip hop producers and that's not me. Like, yeah, I can make hip hop beats, but that's not, I don't want that to be like my only thing. So I just called it another trap beat, as in like, another hip hop beat. Here we go. Or like, there's another rap song out that's like one of the major hit songs right now. You know, because like, I don't know if you keep up with like the music industry news, like this year, at some point, I think it was this summer, there was not a single hip hop song that went number one on the Billboard or that, something like that. I have to go look. I could be saying it.
And it's the 50th anniversary of hip hop. But I mean, I don't know. That speaks to where the music is at too.
Right. There's more like artists, like singers, rappers trying to emulate somebody else.
Right.
Just trying to sound original and really like come up with something nobody's heard before. Oh, I hope I don't regret this.
So, overrated, fairly rated, or underrated? And you can give me like a brief reason of why for each artist.
Okay.
You ready?
I got you.
I'm going to break up the Migos and we're going to start with Quavo.
Okay. Quavo, he's a little overrated to me. I somewhat listened to his new album. It was just on. If you listen to the Migos music, like in the beginning, trailblazing. It was different. Like the style of flow that they use, the triplet style of flow. To the listeners who don't know what that means, just listen to Bad and Bougie and how they're rapping on the song and you'll understand what I mean. Like after like Culture One, the Migos just got kind of meh to me. So yeah, Quavo is a little bit overrated. Now that doesn't mean he's not talented. Right. All three of them are talented. Takeoff,
right.
Very, very talented. Rest in peace to Takeoff. He was the best Migo for sure. But Quavo, yeah, he doesn't.
So you think Takeoff was underrated?
Yeah, he was probably underrated. Like his talent as, you know, a rapper and like what he brought to the group, it wasn't really talked about enough. And he was a very chill, laid back guy. He didn't really care about getting all the credit. Mm-hmm. But he was really like that.
I think that's why there's so much hype around Quavo. He has a big personality and he stepped
right, up. Right, right. He was like, Quavo was like the leader, the face. Now, don't get me wrong. Biggest Alley-Oop by Quavo. I remember one of my frat brothers put me onto that song. And to this day, that's still like one of the dopest hip hop trap songs I've heard. Like that song was really dope. So yeah.
To this day. Okay, Offset.
Probably go listen to it after this.
Offset to close us out for Migos.
Offset, yeah, he's a little overrated too.
Damn.
I mean,
no, you can stick to your answers. Okay,
it's not. I gotta go on Spotify and see.
Father of Four had me in a chokehold. I'm not gonna lie.
Now, I will say this about Offset. He does really, really good jobs with features. And I really love the tape Without Warning that he did.
Yeah.
21 Savage. Like that's one of my favorite trap albums. But yeah, I mean, he just never really.
Okay.
Decided me that much. But then again, like I don't really listen to like Quavo and Offset, their music and take
like separately. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really listen to them that much.
Okay. Gunna.
Gunna? I can't get into Gunna.
What? Okay. Well, no, now I need to know.
I tried.
Okay. All right. Overrated. I love Gunna. but we gonna keep moving before you're
some songs I like, but like he doesn't really excite me too much.
Okay. Roddy Ricch.
Man, Roddy Ricch, man. I'm a big fan of Please Excuse Me for Being Antisocial. That is a classic. That is one of the best albums of the last decade.
Wow.
hip hop albums of the last decade. But it's like after that album, he just, you want to talk about a flop? Like that needs to be studied. That needs to be in a paper. Like, why did he fall off so hard? Because The Box, such a great song. Like, when that song came out, it was everywhere.
Iconic.
And then the album, it's just like so good. Like, and then his he can definitely rap. The way he uses his voice on the songs, it's very creative. The beats were really nice too. Post that, I have to say Roddy Ricch is overrated.
Yeah.
After that album, just the flop was so bad. Like that sophomore slump. Oh my goodness. Like I listened to that album. I think what's it called? Live Fast or something like that.
I don't even know because he flopped.
Like I just was not Live Life Fast. That was the name of it. I just was not feeling it. Mm-hmm. And then he put out Feed the Streets 3, which I listened to that one, but it's hard. Like once you I think that peak that he hit
was
with that,
so high. Oh my God, it was so high. Yeah.
It was very, very high.
And it's like, hard like trying to live up to your own name. And that's one thing that I will definitely always give credit to Drake. And I know a lot of people don't like Chris Brown, but to stay relevant after having like hit songs like that, records like that, and fame.
Right.
Yeah. It's hard
like to High Fashion. With. Oh my goodness. High Fashion. I mean, every single song, War Baby, like, dang. I feel like Roddy Ricch is, that's a personal one for me. Like, I was really excited for him, but then he just fell off. All right.
I want to ask you about some females, but I don't even know. Cardi.
Yeah.
Cardi B.
I think Cardi B is, she's rated fairly. I think, as far as a rapper, like, she may not be like the greatest rapper, the greatest female rapper, because she has people that, you know, help her write the songs. So it's not all her. But the hits that she has, I can't think of any misses. Like,
it's the delivery.
Right. Right.
The delivery.
I Like It, Up, Money, WAP with Megan Thee Stallion. Like, she's got hits.
When has she failed? When has she failed?
Right, like,
when did
I think with her, she may not be, like, if you put her in a one-on-one rap battle with, like, some of the top-tier MCs in hip-hop, whether they're male or female, she's probably not going to win. But if you put her in the right situation, like, she has the right team around her, she has the right songwriters, she has the right producers, and the right marketing team, she's gonna be very successful.
And
she is.
So many of these songs, like word for word, like Bodak Yellow came out almost like 5 years ago, still line for line at the club. Right. Like, let's be real, Cookout anywhere, right. Line for line. So yeah, I would agree that she's fairly rated. Nicki
Minaj, she's rated fairly. I mean, she's one of the greatest rappers in general, male, female, ever. As far as the top five rappers from the 2010s, I don't think you can name five without mentioning Nicki Minaj. Like, what other?
There we go. There we go.
There, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not even a huge Nicki Minaj. Like, I've listened to her albums. I'm not a big fan of all of her albums, but I love the hits. And she can definitely rap. Like, her verse on Monster by Kanye West still goes. She's fairly rated. She's one of the greatest. Her music nowadays.
Hey, yeah, we ain't gonna talk about that. But it's the trend of hip hop. Like, and I know she's tried to get away from wanting to do really trendy things, like, but I think she's also trying to pass the torch, you know, right. Like doing the features that she's doing, working with the artists that she's working with.
Yeah. And like you said it, like right now it's very trendy. Like hip hop is in a place where like everybody wants to sound like people want to sound like Lil Baby. People want to sound like there's people already copying Ice Spice flow. I was listening to a song not too long ago. I was like, bro, like Ice Spice only been popping for like a year and a half and y'all are trying to sound like her.
You already got it down to the science.
And I found it. I had to fact check. Yes, there hasn't been a single hip hop song or album that has topped the Billboard 200 or Hot 100 charts in 2023. For the first time, that has happened. So,
moment of silence. And what a horrible fucking year to do that. Like, what right. a horrible Good. Year.
Yeah. Good event. Yeah. Yeah. Very crazy.
Disgraceful. Let's do these rapid fire questions and then I'm going to end you out with some regular wrap up.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite instrument to play?
The bass guitar, for sure.
How many instruments can you play?
Three. I mean, if you count the voice, the human voice, that's
okay,
four.
Okay, vocals. What's been your favorite performance you've ever given?
I'm going to just base it off of just me, like, you know, my solo career. I did a performance at the Porter Room. It's by Holy City Brewing in North Charleston. I did an event called Creative Mornings. I performed that one, and that was really, really special to me. Shout out to Maggie Hosey. She has her own podcast as well, Disco Teepee. She talks a lot about music. She asked me to do that performance. And I really love that one. I love that one. I have a clip of it on my Instagram. I was singing I Feel It Coming by The Weeknd.
Oh, bet. What's your favorite music venue?
I'm going to say the Gilliard Center. Even that is where I work. But the Gilliard Center is a beautiful, beautiful building.
It is. Oh, my God. It's gorgeous. What's your most unpopular opinion regarding music?
That's hard for me.
It's like there's so many of them.
Oh, I'm going to say this one. It's about an artist. I believe Taylor Swift is overrated. And my reasoning for that is not because I don't think she's talented. I think she's a very good songwriter. But the way her fans hype her up, like she's like I remember seeing some TikToks saying that Taylor Swift is she's more famous than Michael Jackson. I was like, let's just
stop. She's out here creating earthquakes. I just want to throw that out there. So yeah, okay. Multiple genres considered. What decade had the best music?
I'm going to go with the 70s. I think the 70s style of music, that just really matches my vibe just as a person. Like from how I dress to like how I dress to how I like talk, how I carry myself, like how I... The songs that I choose to perform or cover, like I love the Isley Brothers, Earth, Wind & Fire, Donny Hathaway, Silk Sonic. That's like a whole 70s R&B inspired album. That's like one of my favorite albums. I blasted it like every day when it came out. Still listen to it also. So yeah, I would go with the 70s because it was like the live instrumentation and the production. Mm-hmm. And also the lyrical content when it came to R&B music, R&B back then. Oh my gosh, it was just so rich. Like you had so many songs just about just love, like
right, real love, real black love.
Right, like Stevie Wonder songs. Like when I put out music with me singing, like I'm gonna put out an album like inspired by sounds from that era. It's all live instrumentation. It's great vocals. Everything. Like, it's just beautiful.
Who do you predict to be your top five listen to artists of the year on Apple Music or Spotify?
Drake. The Weeknd will probably be in there. Usher will probably be in there. Bruno Mars will probably be in there. And this isn't me being conceited. It's just that I really like listening to my own music. I'm going to put myself.
Black men supporting black men. That's all I heard. What's the most underrated album of our generation?
Well, Bruno Mars isn't black, but
he black, you know what I'm saying? He brown enough.
Most underrated album of our generation. I think I'm gonna go with "Awaken My Love" by Childish Gambino. I think that's his best album, in my opinion. Like Redbone, everybody knows that song.
Mm-hmm.
But like, that's an album that I really like grew with, because like over time, I really started to appreciate that album more as far as the production.
Oh yeah.
And his, and like his vocals, like Childish Gambino is a very good vocalist. And the lyrical content, like the stuff that he's talking about the Black community, talking about the state of America, talking about also like his personal life when it came to relationships. And I mean, the cover art is so iconic. Like he had a Black woman, I forget her name, and also the what she was wearing. I can't remember, but the cover art is inspired by Funkadelics. Like, yeah.
Who's the most overrated artist of our generation?
The most overrated artist of, well, I mean, I didn't mention Taylor Swift as my part. So I mean, I'm sorry to harp on Taylor Swift, because the Swifties are going to get so mad, but I guess I'll say her. Now, I respect her career, like the stuff that she's achieved.
That's what I tell people. I'm like, I will never diss her career. I'm just not a huge, huge fan of her music. Some of it's incredibly nostalgic, but I mean, and I'm going to give her all the flowers that she deserves. But is it really that to be out here create earthquakes? Really that? Okay, good.
Like some of her songs now, like We Are Never Getting Back Together, or I Knew You Were Trouble When You Walked, like those, she got some pops now, but like I just like right, you know what I'm saying? Like it's a good song. She got some good songs. It's just I think that she's hyped up just a little bit too much. Like if I compare her to some of the greatest pop artists to ever live,
she's
not that
she
high.
Would never be that high. Yeah, no. Who's your favorite local Carolina born and raised artist?
Does it have to be just one?
Go ahead and give them to me.
Okay. King Cutler. He is such a really, really good rapper. He just put out a tape, actually, Sorry for the Wait For. Very good tape. Also just a really good guy. I'm very excited for him. Macy Crawford. Very, very talented singer, and her artistry and her writing. I produced a track for her called Heartless a few years ago. And she's so talented. I don't think she doesn't get enough credit. She's really good. And a third one, there's another rapper. His name is K Rich. He's the drummer in my band. And he's a phenomenal drummer. He's a fantastic producer. And his hunger and his like passion for the music is like real. It's very, very good. So yeah, those are the three for me.
What advice would you give to a young musician contemplating quitting music?
Keep going, because there's gonna be times like when you feel like, is this really even worth it? Like, you know, am I really going to achieve the things that I want to achieve? But if you stay consistent and you remember why you got into it, ignore the distractions, stay focused, and remember to have fun too, you'll be happy that you did. Because I can speak like from personal experience. Like a few months ago, actually, like I experienced maximum burnout. I was doing podcasts, doing music, working a job, and doing other things. And I remember just being like, just extremely exhausted. And I was like, bro, is this really worth? Like, you know, but you know, that goes back to, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown, you know, to whom is given much is required, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's Bible talk. And I remember that. And I was like, you know, I know what I bring to the table. I know how talented I am. I know how good I am. And I know how good I'm going to be. And I know where I'm going. So I'm going to keep going. You know, you came too far to just quit, to just put it all down. Like, you got to keep going. Like, I remember when I was teaching myself bass early on, I thought about putting it down because I was so frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
I was I don't know if this is for me. And then I remember, like, I kind of had a rocky relationship with, like, playing the trombone because my confidence just wasn't where it needed to be. And, like, I experienced, like, a huge transformation when it came to my confidence and, like, my assertiveness, my delivery, my just energy and presence as a musician. It, I would say this year, because last year for me was like just me studying, like really me like getting in the room, practicing, putting out content and like making connections. And then this year it was like, okay, let's this is breakout year. Like, let's go. Like, I a good friend of mine, Michael Goins, shout out to Mikey, the producer, also a very good drummer. He told me early this year, he's like, Jalen, this needs to be the year where like you have people saying, Jalen, I did not know you do all of this shit. Mm-hmm. and that stuck with me and I ran with it. I was like, I'm going to put out a beat tape this year. I'm going to do more performances this year. I'm going to get my own band. The podcast, like, we're going to do more live events. It was just hit the ground running.
That's what's up. And I'm ready to take a page from your book on that one. That's awesome.
Those are what the acronyms behind those songs mean. I hope that made sense. I hope I explained that.
You did. You explained it. No, you explained it really well. And yeah, IVTW explanation goes crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm excited listen. Yeah, I'm excited to listen to it again with that in the back of my mind.
But by Monday, the abbreviated songs, when you go look back at the track list, the official names will be there.
So okay.
I gave everybody like a weekend to like, you know, just get into the songs, like just sit with them, let your imagination run. And then when you go listen to it again next week and you look at the track list, you're like, oh, okay, so that's what that means. And that's the vibe he was going for. So yeah.